Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
The Bible is an astonishing book. It's written by over 40 different writers, writers that come from all different walks of life. Some were kings, some were military leaders, some were philosophers, shepherds, farmers, fishermen. It was written over a period of 1,600 years plus. Now you tell me where there's another book like that. And the Bible also stands alone in how incredibly harmonious it is. Written over that many different years, 1,600 plus years, and over 40 different writers from all different walks of life, and yet zero contradictions. Now, there are some ignorant critics that may try to argue about that, but they don't know what they're talking about, and we could answer any one of their questions. And when you look at the Bible in its original text, there are no contradictions. There are some contradictions if you allow translators to get in there and get their own interpretations and their own mistranslations of original words that were written. But the Holy Bible is truly a remarkable, extraordinary book. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, it says, All Scripture. Now, you know the name of this radio program is Live by Every Word. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 4, in verse 4, that we should live by every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. He's talking there about the Old Testament, and he goes on and quotes the Old Testament. He quotes the book of Deuteronomy over and over again. The word of God we should live by, Jesus Christ himself said. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young evangelist named Timothy, and he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's quite a statement. Now, is that true about the Bible? Is the Bible really, every single word of it, inspired by God? The word there for inspiration, it was originally written in the Greek language, and that word for inspiration means God breathed. It means that God personally coordinated the Bible's development and directly inspired its writings. Even though it's written by over 40 different individuals, even though they come from all of these different walks of life, different time periods in the history of mankind's existence, even with all of that, it was actually inspired, coordinated, and directed by God himself. Now, is that a true statement? Do you believe that? The Apostle Paul, again, just repeating what we just read here in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Going on, it says, and it is profitable. It is profitable for us. Profitable for what? It goes on and says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Will the Bible actually provide all of that for us? Does it give us right and true and sound doctrine? Does it instruct us in what the right paths are, the right ways? Will it actually reprove us and correct us? Oh, yes, it will, if you allow it. If you allow it, it can show you where you're wrong. Most people are too arrogant to allow the Bible to do that, however. Verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we really understand and learn what the Bible has to teach us, well, we can ultimately be born into God's family. It will lead you to perfection. It will lead you into good works. Now, that's incredible. The Bible is the authoritative word of God in print. It truly is a supernatural feat, and it really can do all of those things that we just read that the Apostle Paul said it can do, because it is the inspired word of God. It's given by inspiration from God himself. Now, some of you might be out there sitting there listening, and you might wholeheartedly agree with everything that you just heard. And there may be others out there that might vehemently disagree with everything that they've just heard. But how many of you out there, whichever side of the aisle you may be on, how many of you can prove it? How many of you can prove your position? Do you believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God? Or do you vehemently disagree with that statement? Either way, how many of you can prove it? Can you prove that the Bible speaks with divine authority? How many people have ever taken the time to prove whether the Bible is the word of a great, all-wise, all-knowing Creator God, the authoritative word of God Himself? Instead, haven't most of you just simply assumed what you've heard or read or been told about it, that that's true? You've just assumed, well, it is true, or you've just assumed, well, it's not true, and it's just kind of the ignorant imaginations of some ancient people. Just they're steeped in ignorance, steeped in superstition, maybe trying to come up with a concept of God. Other people have just only been taught one side or the other. Either they've been taught that the Bible is true, or maybe they've been taught in college by higher educated elites that the theory of evolution is true, and people just tend to assume one way or the other. And yet God says in Malachi 3, He says, well, prove me now herewith. You can prove that God exists. You can. You can prove whether or not the Bible is the inspired word of God. You can prove whether or not God will keep His promises, like He's talking about there in Malachi 3. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, we're instructed there to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Well, this perhaps is the most important thing of all to prove. Does God exist? We talked about that in the last episode. And is the Bible the authoritative word of God? Does it speak with authority? Will it actually do all of those things for us that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy about? Well, we have that challenge laid before us, and we do have to prove it. We have to know the answers to these questions. We cannot assume. We have to know the answer without assumption. We have to know without assumption that the Holy Bible is the immutable and irrefutable truth of Almighty God, or we have to know that it is not. We cannot guess. And God expects you to prove it. He expects us to prove this. Now, how can we go about proving it one way or the other? You can go back and listen to the last episode, if you haven't already, about the question, does God exist? And creation, among other things, proves that God does exist. We talked about that last time, and maybe we'll be able to get into other proofs going forward. But also, the authority of the Bible proves God's existence. If you can prove that the Bible is accurate, that the Bible is true, that it never is wrong, that it never misses a beat. Well, where is there a book like that on this earth? Where is there another book like that? And if it is true, and if it is always true, then didn't someone besides a human being guide it, direct it, inspire it, coordinate it, write it? Well, I think we'd all have to agree that would certainly be a great proof of God's existence. And it would show that there is authority that we had better think about submitting to. Most people want to just throw the Bible out, and they want to assume that evolution is true and assume that the Bible is not true because they don't want to submit to authority. After all, if God exists, we have to begin asking questions like, well, why are we here? What is our purpose? Why do we even exist? And what does God expect from us? What does He command of us? Does He command anything of us? Well, most people don't want God in their lives. They don't want God telling them what to do. They maybe want the benefits of what God can provide, salvation, blessings, intervention when they're maybe in a war or in some dangerous situation or some financial crisis or whatever. But other than that, well, they pretty much want God to stay out of their lives. Now, that's rather blunt, I guess, but it's true. It is true, and you know it's true. You know that that is a true statement. That's the way most people live their lives. They don't want God really telling them what to do. And that really is what fuels the entire concept of evolution because, well, if God exists and if the Bible is his word, well, then we have to get pretty serious about submitting and about obeying. And most people don't want to do either one of those things. Now, some people claim that the miracles of Jesus Christ proves the Bible to be true. They say that it proves his divine messiahship and that it proves the Bible to be true and it proves it proves that God exists. And yet skeptics don't believe that those miracles ever really occurred. Others talk about the miracles in the Old Testament with the Red Sea parting and the water turning to blood and all the different things that happened there. But there again, skeptics don't believe that those miracles ever occurred. So that's not a real proof for those people. Others might say, well, answered prayer is the proof of the inspiration of the Bible and that God exists. But again, skeptics have never had any prayers answered. And they don't believe that anyone else has either. Now, we need to think about and look at a couple of areas here we're going to look at today. And then there is even a larger irrefutable proof that we'll get into in the next program. But just for today, what about the subject of science and archaeology, archaeology and history? Now look, there's a lot written in the Bible, a lot of history written in the Bible, and as much as archaeologists have uncovered about all the different time periods of man and the great kingdoms of man, whether it's Rome or the Babylonians, or the Persians, or the Greeks, Alexander the Great. Look, there's a lot written about contemporaries of the Israelites, contemporaries of the kings of Israel. Surely archaeology would prove the Bible to be true or false. I mean, if the Bible is not true, as much as we have uncovered in archaeological discoveries, We would clearly have some evidence showing that the Bible is make-believe or people didn't exist or there are different versions of the events that are written in the Bible and prove it wrong. And what about science? There are things written in the Bible that were written centuries ago, millennia ago. And how does that stack up against modern-day science, things that have been proven? I'm not talking about guesses from science. I'm not talking about theories from science. I'm talking about actual proof and verified evidence from science. How does that stack up with the Bible? And has the Bible actually given that information centuries and centuries and millennia far in advance of science? Well, let's look at those two areas right after the break.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG and online. Our live stream's at kpcg.fm. Two wonderful literature offers for you today, and they're both free, and they're both at thetrumpet.com. The first is a booklet, The Proof of the Bible. Why is the world's best-selling book held in awe by some, in passive discredit by others, and understood by virtually none? It's a great question. Many people own a Bible, but very few really study it. Request proof of the Bible. Make sure that it has actual proof that it is God's Word. You can do that by requesting proof of the Bible, and it'll show you how you can prove your Bible true using the Holy Scriptures. Also, sign up for the free Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Again, that's a free correspondence course. You'll get a lesson and get to work on it, send in a test. It can be graded, and then you can get the next lesson. It's a wonderful course to go through. It'll take you step by step through your Bible. Bible study can be a real challenge. Do you read it from the front all the way to the back? Do you jump around from spot to spot? How do you study your Bible? The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. will take you through it step by step and really make the Bible come alive to you. Make sure that you request Proof of the Bible, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. They're both free, and they're both at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Make sure you do order the literature that's being offered to you during the break. But getting back to the subject we were talking about before the break, and that is archaeology and science. How does the Bible and the historical accounts and the details in the Bible, how does that stack up against proven, irrefutable archaeological evidence and scientific evidence we'll look at here near the end if we have enough time? But archaeology is a relatively new science, and it involves digging up and studying the material remains of past civilizations, and it can confirm or refute without question historical accuracies of historians, of people who've written accounts of history, accounts of war. It can also confirm without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. I mean, after all, this does give documented evidence. And it can confirm events and persons, people that are written about in the Bible. And actually, when you look into archaeology, it does confirm events, locations, times, people, kings, nations, wars. It confirms all kinds of information, historical accounts, details that previously were only mentioned in the Scriptures. And, of course, a lot of educators, a lot of scholars have doubted, they've questioned, they've been skeptical about the Bible. Now archaeology is proving them to be wrong and proving the Bible to be true. Now, Bible critics had long scoffed at references in the Bible to people called the Hittites. They're referred to in Genesis 15. They're referred to in Exodus 3. They're referred to in Numbers 13, Joshua 1, Judges 1, and elsewhere. And most of the scholars, most of the educated elites, their opinion was that the Hittites simply did not exist. They were a mythical people made up by the biblical writers. Some maybe thought at best that the Hittites were a small, unimportant tribe of people. Archaeological discoveries, however, have proven those scholars to be wrong. Discoveries made near the end of the 19th century of Hittite monuments on the Euphrates River in Syria. Later in 1906, other thousands of Hittite documents were discovered in Turkey, and it revealed a wealth of information about the Hittite history and the culture of the Hittites. And it really shows that the Hittites were at one time a very dominant people exercising control over Syria and even over parts of Palestine. So it turns out the Bible was true all along for 3,500 years since Moses wrote the book of Genesis approximately. Turns out the Bible was right 3,500 years ago, and all the scholars, all the skeptics were wrong. Imagine that. Now, would they admit that they were wrong? Would they come out and admit, well, it turns out the Bible was true? Well, that's one time that the Bible was true and they were wrong. How about other times? Skeptics and critics also in the past had doubted that the Babylonians actually did conquer the nation of Judah. Now, the Bible records all of this in great detail. It's written in 2 Kings and other places. The details are there, and it goes and tells the story, which occurred around between 604 and 585 BC. Now, again, the critics, the skeptics, they doubted that ever actually happened. However, 21 pottery fragments inscribed in ancient Hebrew script were unearthed between 1935 and 1938 at a site thought to be ancient Lachish, one of the cities that had been besieged by the king of Babylon at the exact same time as the siege of Jerusalem. And that's recorded in the book of Jeremiah. And in these fragments there that were written during the very time of that Babylonian siege, there are exchanges between the city's military commander and outlying observation post. And it just vividly pictures the final days of Judah's desperate struggle against Babylon. Now, we write about this in the correspondence course that we're offering you. And you can learn about this, and you can learn about many other details if you order the literature that we're offering to you today for free. And it will inspire you, it will educate you, it'll motivate you, it will help you to be able to prove so that you don't have to guess one way or the other whether or not God exists or whether or not the Bible is his inspired word. Other critics and skeptics and scholars have ridiculed the idea that Moses could have written the first five books of the Old Testament. They said that writing was unknown at that time, which would have been back around 1500, 1450 BC, back in that time. So we're talking about 3,500 years ago. Now archaeology has uncovered writings that date back as far as 2,400 years ago. And that's irrefutable and clearly proves, again, that the Bible was right and the scholars were wrong. Of course, you don't hear them coming out and apologizing for being wrong, but they were. In August of 2005, there were workers repairing a sewage pipe break in the city of Old Jerusalem, and they uncovered the Pool of Siloam. Now, that pool is mentioned in John chapter 9. Here's what the Los Angeles Times reported about that event. Quote, scholars have said that there was not a pool of Siloam and that John was using a religious conceit to illustrate a point, said New Testament scholar James H. Charlesworth of the Princeton Theological Seminary. Now we have found the Pool of Siloam exactly where John said it was. A gospel that was thought to be pure theology is now shown to be grounded in history. So again, who was right? The Bible. Who was wrong? The scholars, the critics, the skeptics. The Bible is accurate over and over and over again, every single time. Now, another example, in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 41, it talks about Joseph being shaved before he was presented to Pharaoh. And critics ridiculed that, saying that they wouldn't have been able to be clean-shaven back at that time. And then archaeology uncovered solid gold and copper razors found in Egyptian tombs dating back as far back as the 4th millennium B.C., many centuries before Joseph. Scholars, critics, skeptics, wrong again. The Bible, right again. Kings of Israel, kings of Judah, they're listed in great detail, listed in order, and great details about their lives are written in the Bible. Again, critics didn't believe they even existed. They've said in the past, well, those kings never even really lived. There really wasn't this great monarchy there in Israel and in Jerusalem. However, a large number of cuneiform writings have been excavated from the libraries of numerous Assyrian kings. The Assyrian kingdom was a great empire, and they were enemies with Israel, and that's all written about. And as a matter of fact, around 721 BC, the Assyrians actually conquered the northern part of the nation of Israel and took them into captivity. And those kings of Israel and those kings of Judah are actually written about and mentioned, many of them by name, and that was all in the libraries of the numerous Assyrian kings. Now, here at our headquarters campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, at the Herbert W. Armstrong College, we've even been involved in archaeological discoveries, helping and assisting Dr. Eilat Mazar over in Jerusalem She has made some amazing discoveries. King David's Palace in 2005, Nehemiah's Wall in 2007. And our college students have even been involved in helping her with some of these discoveries. In 2005, one of her amazing discoveries was a bulla, or a seal, of Jehukal. And he was a royal officer who worked in the administration of King Zedekiah. He was Judah's last king before they were conquered and taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire led by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is all written about in Jeremiah 37, also in Jeremiah 38, and the story revolving around that was the prophet Jeremiah was warning the residents of Jerusalem of impending captivity at the hands of the Babylonian army. And instead of heeding that warning, the princes of King Zedekiah's administration attacked Jeremiah and cast him into a dungeon. And then the king was advised by these princes to kill Jeremiah and to not surrender to Babylon, but to fight against Babylon and against Nebuchadnezzar. And the king deliberated on which direction he should go. And it's a gripping story, really. It's told in the book of Jeremiah, but people have questioned, well, was it true? Did it really happen? Skeptics and scholars alike had said, well, Babylon never actually even conquered Judah, much less all of these details and names of princes like Jehukal. And another one mentioned in Jeremiah 38 and verse 1 was another prince there named Gedaliah. In 2005, Dr. Mazar found a bulla, or a seal, a stamp, with the name Jehukal on it, right there in the old city of Jerusalem, right there where King David's palace was discovered in 2005. 3 years later, another bulla was found, and the name on it, Gedaliah, exactly the specific names written in Jeremiah 38 and verse 1. Now, those bulla are extremely incredible discoveries, and we have those actually on our campus right here at our headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can come by and see them if you live in the area, or if you're passing through, you can come by and see them. They're right here. There are literally hundreds of archaeological discoveries that prove the Bible to be true, prove the Bible's historical accounts to be true, prove that individuals written about in the Bible actually did exist. And nowhere, not once, has archaeological discoveries refuted the Bible to be true. Not once. Now, you need to study into that more. You need to prove it more and have your faith strengthened. What about science? The shape of the earth is mentioned in Isaiah 40. How it's upheld is mentioned in Job 26. And yet, scientists up until recent centuries believed that the earth was flat. Scientists and theological leaders around the world having other religions, well, they believed that the earth was flat, supported by four elephants standing on a gigantic turtle. Others believed that the god Atlas stood with his earth, with the earth on his shoulders, all different kinds of crazy ideas that religions and scientists have had. And yet, if you look at the Bible, there it is, again, proven by science to be true. The Bible reveals knowledge about ocean springs in the book of Job, in the book of Genesis. It reveals knowledge about ocean currents in the book of Psalms and in the book of Isaiah. These are centuries, and in some cases millennia, before science ever discovered ocean springs and ocean currents, and it all proved to be true. The book of Leviticus talks about the life of human beings. The life is in the blood thereof. And yet up until even just about 200 years ago, people were bleeding. Medical treatment involved bleeding people, draining them of their blood in an attempt to cure and to prevent disease. And yet, there it was in the Bible, letting them know, well, the life is in the blood thereof, and the medical profession was draining at the life right out of people, trying to cure them. Other laws of sanitation, laws of quarantine in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Leviticus. People who have really studied into that are fascinated with those laws of quarantine, those laws of sanitation, the other laws that are there, far advanced from anything in Egypt or Assyria or Babylon or the other kingdoms of that time period. And they were in use in Israel long before they were ever discovered by science. True science and true Bible-based religion always agree. There's never a disagreement. And by the way, people who think that the earth, a lot of times people think that religion says that the earth only was created 6,000 years ago. Well, you need to go back and listen to the program we gave on the time gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, because there was a space of time between there, and the Bible actually teaches that the earth existed long before man was ever created, and it does not disagree with science about the fact that the earth could be billions of years old. You need to get to know your Bible. You need to prove that it is the Word of God. There is one more irrefutable, powerful proof that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God, and we're going to get into that next week. Until then, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.